Powell's improving analyst forecast for prices, along with the Fed rate cut, which will likely help the U.S. economy. Oil rose more than $1 a barrel to settle at $71.95 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
You are listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio. A severe thunderstorm warning is in effect until 6:45 tonight for southern Anderson and southeastern Coffee counties. If you are in Colony, Kincaid, or Lone Elm, be aware of this storm. Severe thunderstorm about 5 miles northeast of Neosho Falls, moving to the northeast at 35 miles per hour. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts being reported with this storm. If you're outdoors, you need to get indoors.
Support for KPR comes from FW Houston Medical Center, now accepting applications for a certified dietary manager. Details at fwhuston.com/careers.
It's 94 degrees in Lawrence, 97 in Manhattan. It's 6:06. You are listening to All Things Considered from NPR on KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Quick update on the weather. That severe thunderstorm warning has been canceled for Coffee County, but remains in effect for southern Anderson County. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts. This severe thunderstorm located near Colony, it's moving to the northeast at about 35 miles per hour. People in Colony, Kincaid, and Lone Elm, you should be getting inside a sturdy shelter. Severe thunderstorm, lightning, rain, pea-sized hail. Be aware that will be moving through your area through about 6:45 this evening.
Public radio listeners are engaged, curious, and community-minded. Your business can unleash the potential of our listeners by sponsoring Kansas Public Radio. Learn how at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
In our next half hour, an update of news headlines. We'll find out the troubles of the national hospital company Steward Healthcare. They've gone into bankruptcy. We will also learn about an interesting lawsuit. This is sort of a new area of the law. It involves music and ownership and reference and interpolation. It's actually quite fascinating. In short, a lawsuit accuses Miley Cyrus and some others of duplicating a song by Bruno Mars just by referencing it. We'll tell you more coming up on KPR. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Crystal Bridges and their new Knowing the West exhibit, which explores new perspectives on the American West. Open now through January 27th. Tickets at crystalbridges.org/knowingthewest.
We do have a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until midnight for Allen, Anderson, Greenwood, Lynn, Miami, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. So folks in Chanute, Garnett, Paola, Eureka, stay tuned to KPR at least through midnight. We'll let you know if any major warnings or any upgrades are issued. The time is 6:20.
New Netflix documentary follows the world of competitive high school mariachi bands. We'll hear about the struggles and lessons faced by the kids as they vie for victory.
Mariachi is more than just music. It is home to these kids. It is their safe space.
Going Varsity in Mariachi, tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Tom Parkinson will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming renowned pianist Jonathan Biss, performing works by Franz Schubert and more, Sunday, September 22nd, 2 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
We do still have a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until midnight for Allen, Anderson, Greenwood, Lynn, Miami, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. A severe thunderstorm warning for Anderson County for about another 15 minutes. News is next. Stay tuned. It's 6:30.
It's NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Election officials in Kansas say advance mail-in ballot applications with an incorrect address have gone out to 43,000 voters in Johnson County. The applications came from the Center for Voter Information, a nonprofit based in Washington, D.C. Unsolicited mailers containing the wrong return address for the county election office landed on voters' doorsteps. Fred Sherman, the appointed election commissioner for Johnson County, said ballot applicants have options for correcting the mistake.
They can mail it to us with the correct address. They can take a picture of it with a cell phone and text it in to us.
Sherman says voters can check their registration status at votekansas.gov. Kansas residents who provide care to loved ones with dementia can now receive help from the state. A new grant program offers $1,000 annually to unpaid caregivers of someone with dementia. The Alzheimer's Association estimates 89,000 residents are caring for people with dementia, and they provide more than $1.9 billion of unpaid work. Jamie Gideon of the Alzheimer's Association says the funding can be used to alleviate that workload. She says many caregivers neglect their own health to provide for their loved one.
We have cases where their mental and physical health seems to deteriorate. And in most cases, actually, the caregiver will pass away before the person they're taking care of.
The funding is dedicated for Kansas residents who are 18 years or older and live with the person they're caring for. Caregivers can apply for the grants with their local agency on aging. The city of Wichita says nearly 77,000 police case records were accessed during a cyber attack earlier this year. The records were exposed due to a vulnerability in a third-party software that the department uses. The attack was isolated to the police department and did not include other parts of city government. The city says as a result of the cyber attack, it is investing in increased security measures to avoid future problems. The city says it will have to pay a $250,000 insurance deductible for costs associated with that attack. The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Anderson County. That is in effect until 6:45. If you are in Colony, Kincaid, Lone Elm, be aware. Severe thunderstorm moving through your area with wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour. We have a severe thunderstorm watch until midnight for Allen, Anderson, Greenwood, Lynn, Miami, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. That does include the city of Chanute, Garnett, Paola, and Eureka. Elsewhere tonight, a 30% chance of showers and storms through the evening. Very humid, lows tonight in the upper 60s. Humid again tomorrow with highs in the lower 90s. It's 94 degrees in Lawrence. It's 98 in Emporia. It's 635.
This is All Things Con.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition with Layla Fadel, Steve Inskeep, and Tom Parkinson tomorrow. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and many other frequencies all around the state. You can find a complete listing of those frequencies at kansaspublicradio.org, where we are streaming KPR 1 and KPR 2 24 hours a day.
If you've got an old car that won't make it through another Kansas winter, KPR's vehicle donation program can help. We turn your donated vehicle into the programs you enjoy every day. Donate your car online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Stay with us up next on your KPR One stations, Classics Live, followed by an hour of evening classical music with Destiny. If you're joining us on KPR 2, up next is KPR Presents, followed by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting Kansas City Star lead political reporter Jonathan Shorman for his series Beyond the Ballot, September 25th, 4 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
We do have a severe thunderstorm watch until midnight for Allen, Anderson, Greenwood, Lynn, Miami, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. It is 94 degrees in Lawrence, 97 in Manhattan. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock.
NPR station.
A new Netflix documentary follows teens participating in high-level mariachi competitions. The filmmakers of Going Varsity in Mariachi join us on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock. Start off your day with the latest news. We have national, international, and regional roundups. Tom Parkinson will be your local host. Coming up next, classical music. Classics Live, followed by Tango Thursday with Destiny. She's your evening classical host. It's all followed by Jazz in the Night. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from Assistive Technology for Kansans, providing people with disabilities and health conditions access to technology to live, work, and play independently. More information at atk.ku.edu.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect until midnight for Allen, Anderson, Greenwood, Lynn, Miami, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. We also still have a severe thunderstorm warning for portions of Neosho County until 7:45 tonight. Elsewhere in the KPR listening area, 30% chance of showers and storms this evening. Partly cloudy after midnight, very humid, lows in the upper 60s. It's 94 degrees in Lawrence. It's 7:01.
Welcome to the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts at Johnson County Community College. And welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio, a weekly show where we travel the area concert venues to bring you a fresh program of excellent live and local classical music. This week, it's an all-Grieg recital with violinist Chiafe Lin and pianist Karen Savage. In a bit, we'll hear the third sonata, but here's the sonata number 1 in F major, opus 8 by Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg. the first violin and piano sonata by 20-year-old Edvard Grieg, which has been called the work of a youth who has seen only the sunny side of life. With Grieg's first of three violin sonatas fresh in our minds, let's hear violinist Chiafe Lin and pianist Karen Savage now play Grieg's third and last sonata. This one in C minor was written 22 years after the first. It seems dark and turbulent. Listen for the payoff, though, when, after going through some arguments and disagreements, the two parts unite for a thrilling finale with a great lyrical theme in C major. Edvard Grieg's third sonata now in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts here at Johnson County Community College.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's the last chamber piece written by Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg in 1887. It was Grieg's third violin sonata, or shall we say, violin sonata number 3 in C minor, opus 45. But as you heard, the piano had an equal voice with the violin, so it was really a sonata he wrote for violin and piano. In this Rule Joyce recital, here at Johnson County Community College, we've heard pianist Karen Savage. After earning her master's and doctoral degrees in music from the Juilliard School, Karen and her husband Jeffrey came to the Midwest to join the faculty of the University of Missouri Conservatory of Music in Kansas City. Chiafei Lin has been playing violin in the Kansas City Symphony for 10 years now, even becoming acting concertmaster as the symphony regrouped and prepared for the retirement of music director Michael Stern. Thanks for joining us for this concert recorded by KPR's field engineer, Chuck Smith. I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. From the Sunflower Music Festival 2022, Alex Klein and Rita Costanzi soloing in the middle movement of Joaquin Rodrigo's Concierto de Aranjuez. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio. And support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. And from the Lawrence Community Orchestra, presenting Voices of Women, performing Florence Price's Symphony No. 1 in E minor, Saturday evening, October 5th, at Plymouth Congregational Church. Information and tickets at lawrenceorchestra.org. From the University of Kansas, this is KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV, KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute, also on KansasPublicRadio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Donald Trump, speaking at an event in Washington, said if he had been president last year, the October 7th attack by Hamas against Israel would never have happened. Trump calling it the worst attack against Jewish people since the Holocaust. And at the Fighting Anti-Semitism in America event, Trump promised to do exactly that if he's sworn in again as president.
I'm here today to tell the Jewish American community that this ugly tide of anti-Semitic pro-Hamas bigotry and hate will be turned back and crushed starting at noon on January 20th, 2025.
Trump began his speech about an hour late. He accused his Democratic rival Kamala Harris of doing nothing to protect the Jewish community. Vice President Harris, meanwhile, is in Michigan taking part in a two-hour live stream event with Oprah Winfrey. Harris saying the race is bigger than her, about what we are as Americans. Harris hoping tonight's event will help her boost her engagement with still persuadable and less motivated voters. The event billed as Unite for America.
This movement that is about reminding each other that we have so much more in common than what separates us is so critically important. And this is about the strength of who we are as Americans.
Harris is hoping the backing of Winfrey, along with other A-list celebrities, will help her campaign. Details continue to emerge about the man accused in the apparent assassination attempt against former President Trump at his golf club. NPR's Toby Smith reports Ryan Ruth was known in his hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, for his numerous run-ins with the law.
Ruth's rap sheet runs the gamut from traffic violations to possessing weapons of mass destruction. Now retired police officer Eric Rosecki says he had 100-plus run-ins with Ruth, whom he describes as a cocky guy with delusions of grandeur who was being taken down by a drug habit. Rosecki says when he heard Ruth was the suspect in the apparent assassination attempt, he wasn't entirely shocked.
Considering how things were progressively going downhill with him, it does make sense. The dots kind of connect, and I can see where this could have actually happened.
Family members did not respond to multiple requests, but a son has said he rejects the idea that Ruth would do anything so crazy, much less violent. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Market reaction to yesterday's outsized half-a-point cut in interest rates by the Federal Reserve was initially muted, though today it's a different story. All of the U.S. stock market indexes up strongly. The move by the central bank will make borrowing less expensive for consumers. It was the first rate cut by the Fed in 4 years, with more anticipated in the months ahead. Anticipated the Fed will cut rates another half a point before year's end and by additional increments into next year. Looking at the numbers, the Dow jumped 522 points, a rise of 1.2%. The Nasdaq was up 440 points. The S&P 500 rose 95 points today. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 19th. The giant planets of the outer solar system are like many solar systems on their own, because each has a large entourage of moons. Consider Neptune, the solar system's fourth largest major planet, which is putting in its best showing of the year. It rises at sunset and remains in the sky all night. It's also at its brightest for the year, but it's still so faint that you need a telescope to see it, in the constellation Pisces. Until 1989, astronomers knew of only two moons orbiting Neptune. But 35 years ago, the Voyager 2 spacecraft discovered a half dozen more moons as it flew past the planet. And since then, astronomers have used telescopes on the ground to find even more, bringing the total to 16. Some of the moons probably formed with Neptune 4.5 billion years ago. But some of the more recently discovered moons may have been asteroids that were captured by Neptune's gravity, and others may be fractured remains of a larger moon that split apart when it was hit by an asteroid or comet. Neptune's biggest moon may be a newcomer as well. Triton orbits in the opposite direction from most of Neptune's moons, suggesting that the planet captured it in the distant past. And billions of years in the future, Triton will move so close to Neptune that the planet's gravity will rip it apart. That will create a giant but short-lived ring around this giant planet. More about Neptune tomorrow. And we have more skywatching tips and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Aruna Cabeza here on KPR. Happy Tango Thursday. A tango many of you probably recognize by Carlos Gardel. Indeed. I love Thursdays. I always try to find some tango for you. I am your host, Destiny. Happy to be here. Looking for more tango. If any of you out there have any favorite tangos, let me know. I would love to play them for you. I've got some fun music coming up at the end of the hour. Oh, well, not so far from now, in about 15 minutes. It's like a tango for string players because the music is so intertwined. It's by Mendelssohn, and there are 8 players for this. Yes, that was your hint. I wonder if you can figure out. 8 is very important. That's the important hint. It's neat. I also love programming things that are historical, and on this day, many, many moons ago, well, not too many moons ago, a Mahler symphony premiered. And, well, you know Mahler symphonies are quite lengthy. We don't have time to listen to all of it, but Symphony No. 7 by Mahler premiered in 1908. So we are going to listen to the evening music, movement number 2, Nachtmusik, from it. Symphony No. 7, Second Movement, here on KPR with Pierre Boulez and the Cleveland Orchestra. The second movement, Nachtmusik from Mahler's Symphony No. 7 here on KPR, Pierre Boulez conducting the Cleveland Orchestra, premiering on this day in 1908. Wow, in the Czech Republic. Amazing. History is amazing. Music is amazing. And I've got some amazing Mendelssohn coming right up. But first, I'd like to thank one of our amazing supporters that allows me to make these terrible jokes on my show. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center at JCCC, presenting Melevo live, an all-male group specializing, ooh, yes, in Malambo, yes, a traditional Argentine folk dance. I've got to see that. Thursday, September 26th at 7:30 p.m. Details at jccc.edu/mtc. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 90.3 Chanute. I have a special message for you from Tracy Harrison and Vic Peterson of Lawrence. They are encouraging all Kansas Public Radio listeners to honor International Talk Like a Pirate Day, a day to parody the golden age of piracy. Join Tracy and Vic in supporting KPR with a hearty yar or a simple ahoy, mateys. Thank you, Tracy and Vic, and all of our listener members. We rely on your support a lot. Well, this is kind of like being out in the middle of the ocean and wondering if you're going to survive. Mendelssohn's Octet. It's very challenging to play, but fun to listen to. I hope you enjoy it. Let's enjoy it together right now on KPR. It's with Solisti Italiani, Mendelssohn's Octet.
Thank you.
So Luis Di Italiana playing Mendelssohn's Octet here on KP.
Thank you.
So Luis D'Italiana playing Mendelssohn's Octet here on KPR. Dearest listeners, I've had so much fun this week. Keep it right here. KPR is your station, and NPR is up next. Bob McWilliams after that. See you soon.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Any good news organization should bring you points of view that you agree with and points of view that you don't. Facts you approve and facts that make you uncomfortable. Our job is to bring you the full picture in context so you can decide. This is NPR.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Community Village Lawrence, a local volunteer-based nonprofit dedicated to supporting affordable in-home aging for adults, helping neighbors live independently as long as possible. Details at communityvillagelawrence.org. It's Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Old Bridge Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Kansas Book Festival, Saturday, September 28th at Washburn University, featuring author panels, live music, food trucks, and more, open to the public. Details at kansasbookfestival.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The leader of the militant group Hezbollah says the organization will retaliate for attacks this week that killed at least 37 people and wounded thousands more. Hassan Nasrallah says the attacks that utilized exploding communications devices crossed a red line. NPR's Jana Raff has more.
He admitted that the high-tech attack was a major blow, setting off explosives, and what he said were almost 5,000 devices aimed at mass casualties without regard for who was hurt. He said revenge was coming, but he wasn't going to go into how or when. And he said if Israel's goal was to return Israelis to border towns they've been forced to evacuate, Israeli attacks would make that much harder to achieve.
Israel, which has not publicly commented on the wave of bombings, for its part, says Hezbollah will pay an increasing price as it seeks to return residents to their homes near the Lebanon border. A sheriff in southeastern Kentucky has been arrested after allegedly shooting and killing a district judge. Stan Ingold of member station WEKU reports the shooting happened this afternoon in the judge's chambers.
Kentucky State Police received a 911 call around 3 p.m. of shots fired in the Letcher County Courthouse in the town of Whitesburg. Law enforcement and first responders arrived to find District Judge Kevin Mullins with multiple gunshot wounds. He was pronounced dead at the scene. During a press conference, Kentucky State Police Trooper Matt Gayhart said an initial investigation indicates Letcher County Sheriff Mickey Steins shot Mullins following an argument inside the courthouse.
He was arrested on scene without incident shortly after officials arrived.
Steins has been transported to a correctional facility and has been charged with first-degree murder. For NPR News, I'm Stan Ingold in Richmond, Kentucky.
Hunter Biden's sentencing on felony firearms charges is now being scheduled for December. That's after a judge agreed to a delay requested by the defense. President Biden's son was convicted in June of three felonies in connection with his purchase of a gun, including lying on a federal form saying he was not illegally using or addicted to drugs. Sentencing was initially set for November, but will now be December 4th. On Wall Street, investors cheered the Federal Reserve decision to cut interest rates. As NPR's Marie Aspen reports, the Dow surged to a record high.
Borrowing costs are coming down, giving some relief to U.S. consumers and some reassurance to investors. Markets rallied the day after the Fed cut interest rates for the first time since 2020. The central bank on Wednesday unveiled a relatively aggressive cut of half of a percentage point. As inflation continues to ease, the Fed is trying also to protect the job market. It got some good news there. The Labor Department reported that weekly applications for unemployment benefits fell to their lowest level since May. Maria Aspen, NPR News, New York.
The Dow jumped 522 points. The Nasdaq was up 440 points. This is NPR. A baby pygmy hippopotamus in Thailand has become so famous, a zoo there is limiting the amount of time people can see her. NPR's Chandelis Duster reports on the adorable hippo's rise to fame.
Mu Dang became an overnight celebrity at just 2 months old thanks to social media. And, of course, her cuteness. A Thailand zoo has been posting photos and videos of the small hippo that have gotten millions of views. One video even shows Mu Dang opening a door. Crowds of fans have been trying to get a glimpse of Mudang in person at the zoo. Memes of her have spread online. The Utah Jazz included a photo of the baby hippo in a social media post. But fame comes at a cost. Some visitors have poured water on the beloved hippo and thrown objects at her to provoke a reaction. Zoo officials warned there would be legal consequences for those who harass the hippo. Chandelise Duster, NPR News.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night. It's become something of a catchphrase that, believe it or not, has been with us for 50 years. The sketch comedy mainstay that launched careers of John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, Gilda Radner, Chevy Chase, and Garrett Morris, among others, starting its 50th season later this month. The program premiered October 11th of 1975 with George Carlin as host and not one, but two musical guests, Billy Preston and Janice Ian. Crude oil futures prices moved higher today with declining stockpiles improving analysts' forecast. Oil up more than a dollar a barrel to $71.95 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include ECMC Foundation, whose North Star is to eliminate equity gaps in post-secondary completion by 2040 so that underserved learners have greater opportunity for social and economic mobility.
Great Vibes player Milt Jackson opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio with a blues he wrote and called SKJ. Good evening, I'm Bob McWilliams. This comes from an album that came out 50 years ago, Goodbye, on the CTI label. But unlike the rest of the album, Four Other Pieces of Music, this is actually recorded with a different band on an earlier album, quite a band with Herbie Hancock, the pianist, and Freddie Hubbard, the trumpeter, and also on that version of SKJ, Ron Carter on bass, Billy Cobham on drums, among others. Vibraphonist Milt Jackson. You know, our jazz album of the week is from vibraphonist Warren Wolf. It's called The History of the Vibraphone. We'll hear from that in about 25 minutes. And also hear from that a couple more times later tonight on KPR. Right now, we'll turn to Frank Foster and the title track to his 1996 recording, Leo Rising. Tenor saxophonist Frank Foster on KPR.